Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, and let us begin this evening service with the singing of Psalter 285, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My soul, bless the Lord. The Lord is most great, with glory arrayed, majestic his state. The light is his garment, the skies are his shade, and over the waters his courts he has laid. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 285.
Thank you. the portion for God's Word that we wish to read in this evening, you can find recorded in Genesis and there of the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
We hope to remember in prayer this evening Mrs. Joanne Allman, who was privileged to come home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou art very great, and as we have sung together, thou sittest in thy majesty. The light is thy garment, the skies are thy shade, and if thou wert hungry, then thou would not say it unto us, for the cattle upon a thousand hills are thine. O Lord, thou knowest also the heart of each and every one of us. We are in this evening gathered together in a day set aside that we may try to draw nigh to thee. And then it is to ask of thee in a special way for temporal blessings. That is, blessings for the body, blessings for the home, blessings of the earth, those blessings that can only come from thee, who art our creator, but who art also the upholder and our benefactor, the upholder of the entire universe. But Lord, then we feel, even in this evening, our shame and our guilt, because then we have heard in this morning hour that there is one thing that is needful, and thou dost declare it unto us in thy holy word. And in this evening hour, then we try to ask of thee the blessings for our bodies. But then we must confess that we have in our hearts truly by nature and of ourselves no desire for thee. And so thou couldst rightly ask of us in this evening how that we can dare to open our mouths unto thee, to ask of thee blessings for this life, when we do not love thee, and when we do not serve thee, and when we can leave thee well enough alone in thy place each and every day. Lord, thou art so right to pass each and every one of us by. For our hearts, they are so inclined unto ourselves and to this world. And we lay in our dead state by nature. But also after receive grace, in so often such a dead condition, so that thou must say even of thy church that they have left thee days without number. And then we want to be fed, and we want to be clothed, Lord, we are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or thy attention. And thy servant did say, Behold, I've taken it upon me to approach unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And then we can read of his posterity, his grandson, and that did say also unto thee, in his own great need in this world, that I am not worthy of the least of all the blessings which thou hast bestowed upon me. O Lord, and yet we need thee, and we cannot do without all that heavenly store in this season that lies before us, thou knowest. And for if thou wouldst withhold thy hand for a moment, and then we shall perish. Lord, wilt thou forgive our sins? And wilt thou change us? Wilt thou give us what we stand in need of in the first place? Hearts of flesh that may grieve because of our iniquities, that we may be given to see who and what we are in thy holy sight, and that we may be given truly a heart to grieve and to mourn, and that we serve thee not aright, and that thou wouldst yet undeservedly look upon us in the season that lies before us, to give unto us that which we have forfeited even from the moment of our conception, because we are conceived and born in sin. Or that we may be given to feel it every day, and that we may be given that right place in order to approach unto thee, who art so holy, who art so righteous, but thou hast also shown thyself so long-suffering unto us and unto our children to this very moment. Lord, if it could please thee yet to look upon us in the season that lies before us, to bless the labors of our hands, and the labors in the fields in a special way, that thou wouldst give thy sun to shine upon us, that thou may give the gentle rains and the dews that are so necessary, and that thou may give the prosperity in the earth, and that we may partake thereof, and oh, that thy great goodness may break our hard and sinful hearts in this season, and lead us to a true repentance. And wilt thou supply then for fathers and for mothers, for families, for those that live alone, for widows, the widower, the orphans, and all those that have special needs also. There are those that are older, her that may come home from the hospital, and we understand may even be with us in this evening hour. Oh, that thou would humble her heart before thee under all thy great goodness. She may sing of it in the weeks that have gone by. And thou hast made it so well by moments with thyself. But Lord, then we can read in thy word how that thou didst also stand behind our wall, and thou knowest how that it is for her heart. Remember each and every one that need thee in special ways, also her that lies so weak in the nursing home. Lord, then it cannot be, and that so much time is left for her in this world. Oh, that thou may prepare her yet. Prepare her to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Thou alone art able. And though we have not heard from her lips, even to this day of that which she stands in need of. But there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for thee. Oh, that thou may look upon her in thy mercy and prepare her for that great meeting with thee. Remember her husband. In all his needs, he is old, O Lord. And he also is weak. And thou knowest all his griefs and his sorrows and his fears in these days. Be on his right and on his left, and supply for him in the time that is coming. Wilt thou remember each and every one of us in the season that lies before us, and that thy word may not be neglected, and that also it may be able to go forth here again in this season that lies before us. And then, Lord, thou knowest also what we need, therefore, and we are undeserving of it. But if it could please thee, wilt thou give us again our strength, give us again our health, that we may go before this our flock. For in this way, and then how shall we go forward? Lord, it is right what thou doest. But if it could please thee, that thou wouldst give us a little more time, that we may go before this people to whom thou hast sent and bound our heart. And wilt thou give also a message, that we may be enabled to proclaim that word from thee. Thou hast promised, and that I have put my words in thy mouth. And if thou wilt take forth the precious from the vial, and thou shalt be as my mouth. Lord, then that word needs to be sown, and the sower needs a little strength. Could it please thee to remember us, and wilt thou look upon us and give, and that the showers of thy Spirit and may be experienced in our midst, and that there may be the seed that goes downward into well-prepared ground, and that it may bring forth fruit upward unto thee, and that it may be evident in that great eternity, though we may know it not here below, but that the fruits, and they may be enjoyed by thee forever and forever. Wilt thou look upon our nation and also our sister nation, especially in this coming season? Lord, thou alone art able to guide all things, and thou knowest the needs. They are very, very great. Oh, turn us again, and give men of thy choosing to sit upon the thrones of the land, and that they may rule according to thy word. And turn us back again, O Lord, in thy mercy. And wilt thou look upon us as a consistory, give what is necessary to do our work, and all thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world. Our theological school, the students, him that brings thy word and hopes to be among us also in this coming Sabbath day. O Lord, remember him. And wilt thou show that thou it is thy own work, that thou feedest him, and that he may also give that food out unto thy people, and that thou may increase the number of thy truly sent servants, in the midst of the congregations and also upon the mission fields. Look on us in this night. Help us, O Lord, this hour. Strengthen us and give thy word place in the heart of each and every one. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 292, stanzas 3 through 5. Wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed in the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, where in peace secure to stay, till with thirst and hunger pressed, courage sank within their breast. There is only one collection tonight that is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 292, stanzas 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. Who was that? That was the patriarch Jacob. If Jacob could look ahead just a little while, then he would say it's so different. And indeed, later he would say it different, because it would be to the saving of his house. But for the present, Jacob, he cannot understand it. He says, all these things are against me. And not only can he not understand it, but he cannot agree with it. Because he says, my son shall not go down with you. For his brother is dead, and he is left alone. And if mischief befall him in the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. What a despondency can God's children sometimes have even in this life, in all the afflictions and in all the trials that they are called to endure in the midst of this world. But they are trials which the Lord sees as necessary for their own deliverance. When a sculptor will make an image, then he knows just where to strike. And he knows also just exactly how hard to hit. And so the Lord will conform his church unto his image while they are here in this world. And then he will take them up unto himself in glory. Our text congregation for this evening can be found in that portion that was read to you, Genesis 3, and thereof the verses 16 through 19. Genesis 3, verses 16 through 19. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So far the words of our text, in which to speak of mankind sentenced for sin, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, an evident curse, and second, a hidden blessing. Mankind sentenced for sin, an evident curse, and a hidden blessing. Who can describe, congregation, the misery that is in this world? We in our prosperous and sheltered society know of just the very smallest part of what is taking place in this world and what is the cause of all that misery. We read and have read that together out of the Word of God, that cause that is sin. And we read, and that unto the woman he said, that is unto Eve, who is Eve, she is a wife. She is the wife of Adam. And she is also, Adam calls her the mother of all living. And if we read the Apostle Paul, then he says that in his wife Eve, then he is, she is also so, that is, to all the wives and the mothers in this world. And thus, what does the Lord say to her? He says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That is, congregation, the first of two parts of the sentence of the woman. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That word sorrow, and that can also be translated in our language with the word pain. Thus, in pain thou shalt bring forth children. 6,000 years of medicine that has not eradicated the pain of childbirth. That is a part of that sentence that the Lord has declared from the beginning, and that will last unto the very end of the world. We read often in the Word of God how that the pain and the travail of the sorrows and the pains of such a travailing woman, and they are compared to some of the greatest distresses that we do experience in this world. But it is not certainly only speaking about the pains of childbirth, but it is speaking about those sorrows that are connected to the upbringing of sinful children in this world. They are often conceived and born with great expectations, and they can very easily and often do become a great disappointment. So was the first child that was born into this world. Who was that children? Say that was Cain. And what a disappointment that he became to his father and mother. How will it be in your life when your father and mother have had expectations for you in your conception and in your birth? And then will you also prove to be a great disappointment to your father and to your mother? So Absalom was a great disappointment to his father David. And so Hophni and Phinehas, and they were also great disappointments to their father Eli. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Find a family who has escaped the sorrows and that the Lord has declared would come upon the woman. Find the hearts of fathers and mothers, of families that are without cares. We can read of Asaph, he says, O God, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Because thou givest to them the bread of tears, and thou makest them to drink tears in great measure. And then he speaks about, as we read here, sorrows that are greatly multiplied. That is, one sorrow that is often coming after the other. Reuben, unstable as water, he went up to my couch. Simeon, Levi, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. Solomon, he speaks in God's word of clouds. He speaks of clouds that are returning after the rain. That is, as soon as that one grief is gone, then there is another grief that is following. Bunyan, he says, and that a Christian man is never long at ease. When one fright's gone, another doth him seize. And that is an expression of that which has been spoken here unto Eve. I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. Who does that? He says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Thus, that is not just a chance. Thus, that is not just something that is happening in a haphazard way. No. Amnon and Tamar, Absalom, Adonijah, a multiplication of sorrows. One taking place after the other. And David, he had to be made to understand why that those sorrows had to be multiplied. Why the multiplication of sorrows? That was because of the multiplication of sin. Sin that is causing a flood of tears in this world. As that sentence that the Lord has spoken unto Eve, that is being carried out from day to day, from that moment, even unto the end of this world. But there is a second part to that sentence of Eve. What do we read? And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. What is it? Well, Eve, she is put in a state of subjection, that is, unto her husband. You say, was not Eve always in such a state? Does not Paul say that the man was not made for the woman, but that the woman was made for the man? So that the man, he was made first, and that the man is therefore the head of his wife. Indeed, so it is. And so the apostle is pointing back time and again to the creation and how that the Lord, he has made it and intended it to be even from the beginning. But what now has happened unto man in the fall? Well, there has come a great disharmony. A great disharmony between the man and his wife. So that it is no longer as it was when that they were created. Because before the fall, then there was nothing. And that could come between this most blessed couple. And it was the greatest delight for Eve to be subject unto her husband in everything. Or can we really even call this a subjection. No, it was her delight to be of service to her husband and their wills. They were so united in the service and for the glory and for the honor of the Lord that there was nothing that could come between this most blessed happiness. But then sin came into the world. And now it is through sin that Adam has become an imperfect husband. And it is now through sin that the will of Eve, that is also not always united unto the will of her husband. And this is now what makes the commandment of the Lord so very difficult. Peter, he gives direction to husbands and he gives direction unto wives. And he says, husbands, that you must dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Thus you are given life together, and that your prayers before the Lord would not be hindered, and that you may in such a way dwell with your life, with your wife. Husbands, Paul says, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. Thus, that is a love that is so great that a man, he ought to give himself, his whole life, his being, for the wife of his bosom. But it is probably the barrenness of poor Hannah, and that has caused Elkanah to take unto himself a Peninnah, and it was congregation for the multiplication of her sorrows. So Peter says also to the wives, likewise, he says, ye wives, that ye must be, he says, in a subjection unto your husbands. Why? Well, that those that are on the outside, that those who have not the word, that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, when they may look upon the wives, and when they may look upon their behavior, and when they may look upon their subjection, and then they may also be one, and when they may see the blessedness of that union of a husband and a wife. But we can read that Michal scorned her husband David, and that for his humility and that for his piety, and she was not afraid to tell him so. But when we so deal with our husbands' wives, then we do rebel against the very sentence of the Lord himself and the very command of the Lord in that sentence. Oh, how much bitterness is there not in our world between husbands and wives because of sin? Oh, let it not be even in the midst of us, but that we may be given to dwell together in understanding and in love, realizing from where all this disunity does come, which is from our own sin. But that institution of marriage that is so in jeopardy in the days in which we are living. But we read further, unto Adam he said. Thus we have also the sentence of the Lord upon the man. And why? Well, he says, because ye have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. If we will go back a moment and we will look in this chapter, then we can read how that Adam has tried to excuse himself. When the Lord has come to him, then he has tried to cast the blame upon his wife. And now the Lord specifically addresses what Adam has tried to do. He says, because that thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Thus he says that you will not be able, as you are tempting to do, to place all of that blame upon someone else or congregation. How will that now be when we are standing before that judgment seat of the Lord? Because in our hearts we have so many excuses. And if we think, if we truly think, to be able to stand before the Lord with any one of these excuses, then we are so seriously mistaken. Because the Lord here, he closes that mouth of Adam. And then Adam, he is not able to open his mouth with excuses anymore. But the Lord says, indeed, your wife, she has sinned. Indeed, she shall have to bear her own punishment because of that temptation. But I now speak, Adam, unto you. And what your sin is, he says, your sin is that you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, that she has not forced you, no, as she was not able to force you, but that you have done this out of your own free will, and you have suffered that temptation to receive a place in your own heart. And therefore what? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thus the habitation of Adam that is cursed. It will no longer be, Adam, a paradise as you have thus far been privileged to dwell in. But now that dwelling place and that you will have for yourself and your posterity, that shall now become a waste, howling wilderness that will bring forth of itself the thorns and the thistles and all of the noxious weeds. Oh, what a change, what a great change in this world has been caused by sin. In the fruitfulness of the earth, that the fruitful land that has now become barrenness, the good fruits of the earth, they are no longer spontaneously coming forth out of the earth, but they have to be, as it were, squeezed out of the earth by the ingenuity and by the labor of man. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, O Adam. He must now, as it were, eke out his livelihood in this world. Oh, that pleasurable caring for that blessed garden in which the Lord has placed him, and that is now exchanged for a very hard toil. It will be by the sweat of his brow. his body, that will become so fatigued under the heat of the day that by the evening he will be longing for that time that he may place down his labors and he may lay down to rest. His mind that will be beset with a multitude of cares in this world that will never actually leave him at ease. All the things that can be enjoyed in this world, all the happiness of this world, that will now be eclipsed by his sorrows, hardships, disease, labor, weariness, and everything that can bring him closer and closer to the grave. Oh, 6,000 years. 6,000 years with all the technology of the last 100 years that has not put a dent in this curse of the Lord. Moses, he says, that the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, yet is the best part of them, young people, the best part, even the days of their youth, yet is their strength, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and then we fly away. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. That is in contrast with the great delicacies that Adam may partake of in that blessed garden. We know not the greatness and the sweetness of what that garden did produce for our first parents. And now he is consigned to the herbs of the field. That is, that he must go even with his face toward the ground, even as it were to eat grass like the ox. And finally, life itself that will be forfeited when you shall return unto the ground, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That is now the sentence. The sentence of the Lord upon Adam and Eve and their posterity, which will follow them. That is now that sentence which you and I have to experience each and every day. In our families, in our homes, in the past, and that shall also continue into the future. It will continue into this season that lies before us. It will continue all the days of our life. Oh, the evil of sin. Do we ever consider how evil that sin is in the sight of the Lord? That we may hate sin, and that we may flee from sin, all with all our heart and with all our might and with all our strength. Oh, instead we so often complain, do we not? But Jeremiah, he says, wherefore should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins? Really? Does the Lord deal with us as we justly deserve? Because the Lord, he still gives us our life. The Lord, he still gives us so many blessings in this life. And then even when we cannot see it, even in that curse, is still to be found a hidden blessing. But we wish to consider that after we sing. Psalter 296, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land. Fertile fields in verdant dress God converts to desert sand. For that they who dwell therein turn to wickedness and sin. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 296. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What is that? That is the very first promise of the coming of the Messiah that we can read in the Bible. That is in the 15th verse. Thus, our text that begins at verse 16 to 19, and thus that promise that was heard in the ears of our first parents, that was in the first place before that they were sent out of that garden. And not only before they were sent out of that garden, but it was before that the Lord had declared unto them this sentence that we read in our text. Oh, how tender is the Lord with his people. There will not be one moment that the Lord will give that they have reason to despair. But before that the Lord pronounces unto them this awful sentence, then he does prop them, as it were, with a great comfort and with a great hope. Satan has not succeeded to destroy the crown of the creation of God. But God will see to it that they shall be delivered, and he shall send forth his Son to pay that awful price for his church. But then we have a question. If that is now so, and Christ is promised to our first parents that he will come and he will now pay that awful punishment, why is it that church now also has to suffer? How would that be, children? When your mother, she had said you are naughty and you must now go to your room, and a half hour you may come out again, and in a half hour you come out again, and your mother, she says, well, now you must go back for a half hour. Then you will say, how can that be? How can that be? Then I have just satisfied that punishment, and now I am punished again. Your mother will never do that. Will God do that? Oh, God will not do that either. Why not? Because God is righteous. And he will never punish sin two times. Well, you say, how can that be then? Because Christ, he had to suffer. And if he now paid that whole price for his church, how is it now possible that the people, they also have to suffer in this world? Well, if you read it, then you can read before this that God cursed that serpent. But you do not read that God cursed Adam. No. But you read that God cursed the ground. And he cursed that ground for his sake. Indeed, that cursing of that ground, that will be the very first part of the punishment of the reprobate. That is, congregation, the small beginning of that eternal punishment of the reprobate, which will never, never come to an end. But it is not so for Adam and for all his elect posterity. When God cursed the ground for Adam's sake then he cursed that ground for his benefit. Though it was so hard for Adam to see this, and it would be so hard for our first parents and all their posterity to bear up under this cursing of the ground. But congregation, Adam, he could not do without it. He could not do without the curse. And why not? Well, Adam, he is not the same as he was before. He has now become a different person. That fall, that did not just take away something from Adam, but it changed Adam. Adam, he has lost the very image of God. And now, well, we read that when Adam was in that garden, that Adam communed with the Lord. But now, as soon as sin came into the world, we read just the opposite. We read that Adam, he hid from the Lord. Adam now, he fled from God. This is congregation, who that we have become in Adam. Where is now the man that in all the prosperity that he may enjoy in this world, where is now the man that will call upon the Lord in his prosperity, in his affluence, with all the blessing, with all the riches? We read when Jeshurun waxed fat, he kicked, and if he forgot the Lord who made him. It is prayer day. Who here has a prayer today? We don't say who prayed, who did not have a form of prayer. We all have done that. But who has now truly prayed unto the Lord? How would that be if the Lord, after the fall, had left us in a Garden of Eden so that we may still enjoy that garden to the end of the world? And then at the very end of the world, the Lord would bring in his church and he would cut off the reprobate. How would that now be? How many do you think, humanly speaking, would the Church of God number? I think, congregation, not so very many. The Lord, he did not need to curse the ground for the sake of the reprobate. It wasn't necessary. If Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, and the beast not sufficient for a burnt sacrifice, what is the suffering of the reprobate while they are here in this world compared to that suffering that they shall endure forever and forever in all its intensity, which we cannot even fathom the smallest part of? No, it was not necessary for the reprobate, but it was necessary for the Lord to curse that ground for the sake of Adam, to curse that ground for the sake of his own church, that it may profit them that it may be for their advantage. Why? Because Paul says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and that he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. When Manasseh sat on the throne in his prosperity, he did not pray. And he had a praying father. He had a God-fearing father. And his father prayed. You can read that in the Bible. But Manasseh, he did not pray. And his father, he could not teach him to pray because fathers, we cannot teach our children to pray. No, but the Lord can teach our children to pray. And that is what we read in his affliction, that he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Oh, Manasseh. Manasseh, he is in this moment magnifying, exalting, and praising the Lord for the cursing of the ground, for the prison house. Oh, he is at this moment kissing that rod, the rod of God himself. Many years ago, I overheard a man. He said, the Lord, he is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I thought you missed something. You missed something. And what is the first part? That is that the Lord, he is also a prayer giving God. Just read Psalm 107. There you read over and over. Then they cried unto the Lord. When? In their trouble. And who brought them to that place? Well, we read, he brought them. He brought down their hearts, we read, with labor. In their afflictions. And because of their afflictions, and because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. What was that blessed confession of that widow of Zarephath? She says, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Now by this I know. And what was this? Oh, that was a deep way. That was what the Lord had brought upon her. That was even the slaying of her own son. No, we may not ask congregation for afflictions or an affliction that is not able to give us true conversion. When it is not sanctified, it will only harden our hearts and we will raise up our fist to heaven. But ask the Lord, Lord, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Agar, he says, feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, have dealings with me. Have dealings with my soul. Because my life that is so short. And what shall be the profit of all my prosperity if it does not now lead me unto thyself? O wives, wives, do you then have hardships because of a husband? What does the Lord say in his word? Does he say then have dominion over your husband? No. He says, follow the example of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands. Oh, what does he say? He says, in that sentence, I give you also a place to go. And that I have placed it there for a reason. For what reason? That you may pray to me. That you may draw nigh unto me. And he says that you shall be saved in childbearing if you will continue in faith and in charity and in holiness with sobriety. And so he is mitigating that wretchedness of that sentence that he has placed upon you. He has not made you subject to an enemy. He has not made you subject to a stranger. No, he has made you subject to your husband, who has yet that living heart, though he may have so many faults. The Lord does not chastise to destroy, but the Lord chastises in order to draw unto himself. Where did Hannah go? As in all her grief, and in the multiplication of her sorrows, oh, she drew nigh unto the Lord. Do you have to labor, fathers, husbands, men in this world, under trials, under difficulties? Maybe it shall also be in the season that is lying before us, to wear out your mind, to wear out your body. Then we have but one question. Where is it now bringing you? What would now be the greatest curse? The fact that the Lord has cursed the ground, but it has never become for us a blessing. Oh, read Amos 4. The Lord, he says, I smote thee. I smote thee with drought. I smote thee with pestilence, and so on. And the Lord says, yet you have not returned unto me. You have not sought me. You have not prayed unto me. Oh, they are my loving dealings in the providences in this world. And that is that hidden blessing. In the very cursing of the ground, for thy sake, for the sake of a people who cannot be brought to their knees any other way. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the dust. That is, till the very end of our life, the sweat of thy face. Oh, when that cursed ground may have been sanctified in our life, then congregation, our death, then it shall be so sweet, so sweet. Then we shall have a desire that we may depart this valley of tears. When that toil of the day will make that eternal rest all the more glorious. When we have been weaned from all the so-called pleasures of this world, by all the disappointments because of that curse. And then finally, the soul of God's children may look forward to the laying down of that body of sin and death. And then entering into that place where nothing shall enter that defileth, and where God shall wipe away all tears from their faces. Did you ever read that book of Warburton? Mercies of a Covenant God. Read it to the end. Read it to the very end. What was now the last word of that man when he departed out of this life? Then he had just enough strength to say one more word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Congregation, shall we so depart out of this world? Has man then lived in vain? Who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? Oh, what is our life? What shall be our life? Also in this season that is before us, oh, the Lord sanctify and bless His word. The Lord sanctify and bless all His providences in this life, that we may fear His name, and that we may be prepared to depart from this valley of tears and to enter into that place where there is no more any night. Amen. O Lord, remember us, for Thou knowest our hearts and all that is within, that Thou would look upon us in this season. We know not what a day may bring forth. Oh, that we may be prepared through all Thy dealings in this life to leave this world and to enter into Thy glory. Wilt Thou cause our hearts to fear? And wilt Thou give us a treasure that is in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt? Wilt Thou forgive the sins of this day? Give us a thankful heart that Thou hast strengthened us hitherto also for this night. Bless Thy word and be with us in the days to come. Give us a desire for Thy holy day. And remember Him that will go before us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 444. No, we'd like to change that. Let us sing 244. 244. Two, three, and five. Each succeeding generation at Thy mighty word appears. Thou dost count in time's duration one day as 1,000 years. Death with swift and sudden warning calls us from life's dream away, like the grass, green in the morning, withered ere the close of day. 2, 3, and 5 of 244. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.